Fill in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. Passage of scripture that I've heard many times. You've heard it too, but you know, we need to hear what we ought to be doing. The Lord begins by telling us that if we want to have a happy life, don't you want to have a happy life? I do. You have to have a converted life. You have to be born again. To enter into that joyful, abundant life, you must be born again. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And he ends up here with the greatest sermon that was ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever preached. One of the things that Jesus used is illustrations here. Take a common, ordinary thing and give it a heavenly picture. And he illustrates, we see like looking out through a window into a light, beautiful light of the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Look what it says. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember, our lives are to glorify our Father in heaven. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your blessings in life. We thank you through these scriptures this morning, that you will touch us, each one, at the very point of our need. If there's someone here that never has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to have that eternal life, to have that abundant life, today they need to come and simply by faith give their life to you. Lord, if there's those here that are called the salt of the earth, and they're not being salt, Lord, may we do that today. Recommit ourselves to you. God, we give you praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The Lord draws a contrast in two illustrations. He says, on one hand, you are the salt of the earth. On the other hand, you are the light of the world. Now he's drawing a contrast between two lifestyles, folks. Two different cultures in this world. There's the lifestyle of the saved. And I hope you are saved this morning. I hope you're living a life full of God's glory and grace. And I just pray that you have an abundant life that you're passing on to your children and your grandchildren. And then there's the lifestyle of the unsaved. It's the lifestyle that we see out in the world. And along the way of life, we have misunderstood the Bible about separation from the world. Now listen, although the Bible teaches separation from the world, we are to be an influence. You get that? We are to influence people around us, people in the world, our neighbors, our family, whoever it might be that we come into contact with. We are to influence them towards Christ. Let them know that we have a Christian influence. Now, two simple little items like salt and light, the Lord gives a beautiful picture of the influence that we are to have as believers. very simple, and yet they're so misunderstood, or we're not doing it, our impact that we have on the lives of people around us. You see, salt penetrates into our lives, and light radiates all around us. Man, believers are to be salt. Salt. Why are we to be salt? It says if the salt has lost its flavor, then it's no good for nothing to be cast out and trod under the foot of man. Well, let me tell you something. Salt, or the corruption that we see in the world today. You see, salt is a miracle product. It's actually made of two poisons, they tell me, sodium and chloride. If you drink hydrochloride, you're going to die. That's just as simple as that. But if you mix it with sodium, then there you have salt. Praise the Lord. I like salt myself. I heard a man not long back tell me that he had to go on a salt-free diet. And he said, "Preacher, let me tell you something. Life's no good without salt." You know, I've tried that. And you know what? He's right. Life just ain't flavored without salt. Jesus says, you know, you are the salt of the earth. And Jesus was the master chemist when he saves. You know, he takes you and performs a miracle in your life. Here's a life. Your life, my life, we were all sinners at one time, saved by the grace of God, I hope. But our life was spewing out poison. Our life was spewing out death. Christ added his grace to it and his mercy. And man, out comes a born-again believer, spewing out the things that of Christ, telling about the glories of Christ. That should be your life. You're the salt of the earth. Now think of the duty of salt. There are several qualities of salt. One I like the best is irritating. When you take salt and you rub it on a wound, oh man, let me tell you something, that's going to burn. But it does. And it can really sting, it can really burn. Now, sometimes the very nature of us being a Christian, I've gone to give my testimony out into the world. Let me tell you something, it stings. It irritates. I've had people run me out of their home. I've had people put a shotgun on me and tell me to get out. Hey, when somebody does that, you just get out. You've irritated them enough. But, you know, it irritates people. When we as Christians tell about Christ, you're going to rub some people the wrong way. That is going to burn, because by the very nature of us being Christians and telling them about the gospel, they don't want to hear about the sin they're living in, so it irritates them. They didn't like Jesus Christ. They persecuted the early church, the apostles and the prophets. They're going to irritate and persecute you too. Jesus says, that's all right. You spread the word. You be salt. Salt is also something seasoning about salt. It adds flavor. I like it on my eggs. I tried eggs without salt. It just doesn't work. Those things are not eggs at all. I've tried those salt-free diets because they say, you know, you don't need all that salt. It retains water. And, you know, I'd just rather be fat. I'd just rather be fluffy, as people want to call me today. They just say, you're a little fluffy. And I say, well, that's a good kind word for being fat. But I don't do without salt, folks. We're living in a rather tasteless society. Don't you think so? Our society is tasteless. TV, man, I've run through those channels. There's nothing on. You know, they are scraping the bottom of the barrel to find something to show on television. And it's all bad. Oh, let me tell you, our society is rotten to the core. And a Christian is to have taste. They're to be salt. And listen, it's a contradiction for the Christian to be called dull. I don't know about you, but there's nothing dull about my life. I run 24 hours a day, every day. I don't sleep too well. You can't. I'm always listening for the phone to ring. But you know what? If a church is dull, man, it's in the wrong business. A church is supposed to be exciting. I used to run with Brother Casey Perry, and I still run with him, but I can't run him now, but he's getting on up in years. But they used to be at Malakoff, and I'd call down there, and he'd say, "Exciting First Baptist Church of Malakoff." And I said, "Brother Perry, that's what it ought to be. Exciting First Baptist Church of Malakoff, Exciting First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. We ought to be excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be loving. We ought to be interesting when people come. They shouldn't have to sit through a boring sermon. It should bring life to them." Now, if you're bored with my sermon, don't tell me. I'd have somebody come out and say, "You know, for years, preached that sermon, pretty warm sermon." And I would say, "Yeah, that means not so hot. It's just warm." But don't tell me that. You know, it should be, our lives should create a thirst about the gospel. Amen? My father said, you know, that old saying, "You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." My dad, one of these guys, says, "Yes, you can. If you salt him up first, he'll drink." And that's right. But there's something permeating about salt. You rub it into a meat and it keeps it from spoiling. Salt, Christians should keep our society from decaying. And our society is decaying today right before us. We have moral decay in the American culture. And the child of God is supposed to help prevent that decay that's going on. One of those days, the salt of the earth will be removed. That's the Christians. And oh, I've said many a time, when the Christians are removed, the Holy Spirit's going to be removed too from their lives, and this is going to be a rotten place to live. Morally, politically, spiritually. But until then, Jesus says, "You be salt." Are you salt today? You know, I used to say the first thing when sit down at the table, my dad would say, "Please pass the salt." I believe if we're going to win this world for Christ, they're going to be saying, "Please pass the salt. You be salty in today's society." Salt has to be salty if it's going to benefit anything. And then not only that, salt has to come into contact with the product to do any good. I said, "Please pass the salt shaker." If it sits on the table full of salt, it's not going to do a bit of good, is it? It has to, you have to get it and you have to pour it on whatever you want for it to change the flavor of that. Let me tell you something. We've got to come into contact with those out in the world if we're ever going to win them for Jesus Christ. I've asked you over and over and over, please be salty. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Have you done that? If you're not, you're not salty. Listen, you've lost your flavor, and you're not doing any good. Man, get out there and irritate somebody. Tell them about Jesus Christ. I'll guarantee you, the old boy that walks up and down with the sign, he's doing more good doing that than some of us. At least he's standing for Jesus Christ and letting them read that sign. We keep quiet when the whole world is dying and going to a place called hell because we will not be salty. Jesus says, if you've lost your flavor, then it's no good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men. How many times a week do you get an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, and you're in the salt shaker sitting on the table. You're not coming into contact with anybody. Get out there and be salt. Irritate somebody. Oh, yeah, you might irritate them, but at least tell them about Jesus Christ. Can you do that? Will you do that for Christ? Don't do it for me. Do it because God tells us to be salty. He tells us to come into contact with those who are lost. Folks, let me tell you something. They're dying and going to hell faster than we can, faster than we know. And every second that passes, somebody dies in this old world, and the gates of hell are pulling them down because of the moral decay in our land. We need to be salty in our life. Be careful. Don't be conformed to the world. This old world wants to make you just like it. And I'm always saying, be careful what you read. Be careful what you watch on television. Be careful, or you will lose your usefulness for Christ. Let me tell you something. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you lose your flavor. You lose your flavor. I heard just the other day someone was got some pastor got caught in an immoral thing, and let me tell you something. He lost his flavor. People will look at him from now on and say, you know, I wonder if he's really saved. He may not have lost his salvation. I don't believe you can lose it once you have it. But I'll tell you one thing. You can lose your saltiness by the way you live. And then the Bible says not only that, Jesus says light. Light for this world's confusion. What is light? Here's what the dictionary says. That which enables us to see, opposing the darkness. Light is a miracle. It's a mystery. We know that it exists, folks. I know it exists. I see it all around me. But it's hard to explain. Have you ever tried to explain what light is to someone that's been totally blind all their life? You just can't do it. I heard about two old dumb thieves. They were outside this multi-story building. One of them said, did you bring a ladder? He said, no, but I'll tell you what you can do. I'll turn on my flashlight, and you climb up to the fourth floor on the beam. The other thought about it a minute and said, no, that's not going to work. He said, why not? He said, because you'd turn it off by the time I got to the third floor. Folks, it's hard to explain light, but Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We know light exists, and the Christian is supposed to be like a light. Jesus said, John 9:5, I am the light of the world. He's the light of the world. In Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, he says. When you meet Jesus Christ, the true light, he says, become like me. What a miracle happens in our life. What does it do? Light dispels darkness. Man, when I come in here, sometimes it's just dark, especially after the sun sets and everything, and you can, it's just totally dark in this building. But you go back there and turn on the light, and you can see every pew, where to walk. You won't trip on anything. I used to try to walk in here and walk through the darkness. Inevitably, somebody will move a pew or something. And the first thing you know, I busted my shin open on that pew. And I said, you know, it's silly trying to navigate here in the darkness. Why not just turn on the light, Booney? Man, that's a good idea. Jesus says, why don't you as a Christian be light? Dispel and disperse the darkness around us. You see, we live in a society that considers itself to be very enlightened. And the truth is, it's in darkness. It's in confusion. When a mom or dad tells a little girl that, you know, there's a boy inside of them, they can dress like a boy if they want to and live like a boy. When a little young man says, mama says, I'm a girl inside, I can change myself to a girl, let me tell you, our world is confused. Folks, believe it or not, that's what we have today. We live in a society that considers itself very, very intelligent, but we're walking around in darkness. Do you know what the basic question of life is? Where did I come from? Where did I come from? And the world will tell you, well, years ago, you crawled out of a green, mushy slime, and you begin to grow legs and tail, and over the time and everything, you developed into a man, you know? Confusion. Where am I going, Mama? What's going to happen to me, Dad? Oh, well, when you die, son, you'll come back in another form. Maybe a bug. I don't want a bug. Somebody like me would walk by and go, and I'd be going into something else. I wonder what I'll come back next time. You know, our world is confused, but that's what people are trying to get our kids to believe. Who knows why we're here? Nobody really knows why we're here, do they? We're just here making the best of a bad situation. Well, let me tell you something. If you know God, He gives you the right answers. You see, I was created by God. That's who I am. That's where I come from. I was created by God. Where are you going? Well, when I die, I'm going to heaven, because that's where God says we'll all go, except those who do not trust Him, then they go to a place called hell. We know that. What am I here for? Well, if I know God, He says, I'm here to serve the Lord as salt and His light. And that's not confusing at all. Where did I come from, young man? I was born of God, created by God Himself, the creator of heavens and earth. That's not hard. Where am I going? I'm going to heaven, preacher, one day when I die, because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What am I going to do while I'm here? I'm going to tell everybody I can about our precious Lord, because I'm salt and I'm light. Now, dark morally, this world doesn't have a clue about the great morals in our day. Yet the humblest child of God with a Bible in his hand can read the Word of God and know right from wrong. Dark religiously, the Bible says God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. But let me tell you something. Men have turned their back on God. They have. God has deposited His light in three different places. Right here in the Word of God. He said, that's the Word for you. I've given my light right there. Not only that, He said, I've sent my Son into the world. He is the light, and you crucified Him. And I leave my light in the hearts of my saints. You are His light today. Are you being what you're supposed to be? Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify who? Your Father in heaven. Where did he say to put the light? He said, put it on a hill, on a city on a hill, that the light might shine in all directions out. And I think he's saying we are to be that light for Jesus in this city. This is where Jesus Christ has put you. I'm here because God led me here in 1985. He planted me here and he said, be light. He planted me here and says, be salt. If you're here and you're a member of this church, he's planted you here and said, listen, be light and salt right here. Start work. Get out there. I think he's saying to us as a church, be light, be salt, be a lighthouse. Where the word of God is preached, where the word of God is taught, man, I tell you what, we had a great Sunday school this morning. Some of you missed it, but the word was taught there. Be light and salt where members are faithful to God in this house. The first place that you should really shine is at home. Does your family know that you are a Christian? Are you being salt and light for your children to see? You see, they know. You're not fooling them. They see you, Father. They hear you, Dad. They know those words that you say. Don't say anything that would cause one of them not to be salt and light. Shine for Jesus. Shine for Jesus. Remember that little song, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Are you salt? Are you light? If you are, let people know about the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, that it may glorify the Father in heaven. The first part of being salt, the first part of being light, is you must be converted. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, today if you'll come and simply say, Lord, I thank you for dying for my sin. I realize I'm a sinner and I want you to come into my heart. Jesus says, I will come in. Now that's just as simple as it is, folks. And then let your light so shine. Follow Christ in baptism. Follow Christ being in church. Man, live for Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for salt and light, for what they do. And Lord, it's just two simple things. Yet it means so much for us to be like salt. It means so much for us to be the light because you are the true light. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's someone here that needs to be converted, they'll come and simply trust you as Lord and Savior. I'd be glad to share with them. Let them come. And Heavenly Father, if there's somebody here that's already a Christian and they're not being salt, they're not being light, God, may they come and just kneel at the altar and say, Lord, today, would you forgive me? And you said, I will forgive. Pick us back up and let us be salt and light. Heavenly Father, if there's somebody here that's looking for a church home, Lord, let them come. Let your perfect will be done, that we might glorify the Father in heaven. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.